So this is always the most awkward part for me, is the intro into a sermon. The founding, I'm just going to read my notes as I wrote them, because I wrote it like this. I said, the founding pastor of Refuge always wanted the teaching team to open with a welcome. Welcome to Refuge. I'm Nicole, one of the pastors here. And I was like, for sure, there's not going to be any new people. Everybody's going to know who I am. And look at that. It's like, if you plan for rain on your wedding day, it's not going to rain. But if you don't plan for rain, it's going to rain. My wife and I got rained out on our, well, we didn't get rained out. But anyways, so I'm Nicole. I'm one of the pastors here at Refuge, but I also made the decision that instead of doing a welcome and telling you who I am and all that, I'm also going to start my sermons with gratitude. I'm going to say thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for coming tonight and making Refuge a part of your weekend. Thank you for worshiping with us and taking time to make Refuge a part of your life. So thank you for being here. And tonight, we are starting a new series. I've been crafting this sermon since Tuesday. The Tuesdays are usually my sermon writing days. I take time to sit and study and pray. And through the week, it's kind of evolved into, it evolved from a sermon about one thing to a sermon about another to all of a sudden at 11 o'clock last night, I'm like, a new series. And I did that because I got to 3,700 words on my sermon. And just so a little inside baseball is that every 1,000 words is about 10 minutes. So we were creeping up to a 45-minute sermon with where I was going with this. So I was like, that's too much for them. It's too much for one night. So we're going to do a whole series. And the series we're starting tonight, I'm calling Holy Habits, the Sanctity of Self-Care. This kind of stems from one of the questions that we got on our last series about spiritual disciplines. And I said, I don't really want to call them disciplines anymore because those are kind of like harsh and rigid and legalistic. And I want to turn them into holy habits. And if I'm being honest, if we're being honest, this is an area in life that most of us do not do well. Not only have we been conditioned by a world where work is progress, and if you're not working, you're not making progress, so you have to keep working and keep doing to be successful. And then if you've been around church or religion for any amount of time, the idea that caring for yourself very nearly flies in the face of what Christian churches teach or demand from their followers. We get a lot of die to yourself. Lay your life down for your friend. Sacrifice. You do not belong to yourself. So, of course, why wouldn't we be terrible at self-care? We've been trained that we mean nothing. And there's this old acronym from my evangelical childhood, J-O-Y, joy. It means Jesus, others, you. Anybody heard this? Or is it just me? Jesus, others, you. And this is the order in which you are supposed to love and care for people. Jesus first, obviously, and then others, and then whatever's left, whatever you got extra in your cup, you get that. And pardon my French, but that's doo-doo, in my opinion. And yes, so, and I want to follow that up with this real quick is, yes, there are moments where we must consider the needs of others as more important than our own. It's not my message tonight. There are going to be times when we are required or must sacrifice in order to serve others. And that is the center of who I want Refuge to become. People who need people. It's a lot of people. It's a very confusing motto. I'm going to work on it. But being people for people who need people, it comes naturally with a little bit of sacrifice, a little extra giving. And as long as I am your pastor, it will never come at the expense of your mental health. It will never come at the expense of your emotional or spiritual well-being. I will do my best to protect that as much as I can for you. So when I'm talking about self-care, I'm not talking about extra bubble baths or more days off. I'm talking about caring for your whole self, your heart, your mind, your body, and your spirit. And why don't we do self-care well? Because we often try to pass off things as self-care when they're not actually self-care. They're just distractions. We all have things that we slip into, those mind-numbing things that we convince ourselves are giving us rest or helping us decompress. But really, we're just distracting ourselves. We're occupying and distracting our minds from thinking about all that's going on in life. We're not really resting or calming down. And distraction is not the same thing as self-care. Because real, honest-to-God self-care is hard. Because it takes work, and it has to be intentional, because you have to work to care for yourself. But it's also a very, very holy thing. It's one of the holiest things that you can do in your relationship with God and religion. In John 10:10, Jesus says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." And I remember this verse from middle school Bible class, having to memorize it. But there was a big old emphasis on the stealing, killing, and destroying part because that's what we focused on, because the enemy was coming to steal it, to kill it, and to destroy it. And if I'm being honest, this one was always hard because the West Virginia in me would come out and it would be steal, kill, and destroy. And even still, I have to really focus tonight to say steal, kill, and destroy. Because the thief was coming, right? He was coming through Harry Potter or Hocus Pocus or the Smurfs or the trolls. He might have come through different things for you, but those were the things I wasn't allowed to watch or read growing up because he was coming for me. And then we'd ignore the abundant life part. Like the best part of that verse, we'd ignore it because we're too busy worried about Expelliarmus and also because prosperity gospel preachers needed it to justify living in excess and abundance. But I talked about that last week, so moving on. Because the abundant life that Jesus is speaking of is one that is grounded and centered. Grounded in Jesus and also in ourselves. Because it's our peace and our joy that is vulnerable to being stolen. Jesus said, "I'm here to teach you how to live in a world with peace, even though it's trying to steal that from you." In Matthew 11, Jesus invites us into this peace, into this sacred, holy work of self-care. I'm going to read from two different versions tonight. The first is the NRSV. In Matthew 11, 28 says, "Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And the Message, I love the Message translation. It says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." And this is a good passage. These are good scriptures to go to when we're exhausted, when we've had a long week, and rightfully so, because Jesus is speaking to the worn out, the burnt out, the tired, the people carrying heavy burdens. But more than just a temporary respite, more than just a quick break from our burdens, Jesus is offering a new way to live. He's not offering to take away our responsibilities or offering a trouble-free or stress-free life. Instead, his invitation is a new way to carry it all. Jesus says, "Take my yoke. Take my yoke upon you." He's not throwing a yoke at us and telling us to work and good luck on your own. You got this. A yoke isn't a single user device. It usually connects two animals together so they can work together. Now, I could be completely wrong because I studied the Bible, not farming. So that's just what I know based off the footnotes in my Bible, is it's two ox put together to work together. So what Jesus is inviting us into is the work of self-care, the work of caring for our hearts and our minds so that we can do it with him and learn the right way to do it. He says, "Walk with me. work with me. Watch how I do it and learn the unforced rhythms of grace. And in those rhythms of grace, we find the grace to care for ourselves, to care for our souls. Jesus gives us permission to love ourselves. And when we walk with him, when we work with him, when we watch him, we see that Jesus lived out and practiced the sacred work of self-care regularly. Jesus was in ministry. I know, mind-blowing information here tonight. And ministry is hard because sometimes people suck. And I say this as people because sometimes I suck. This is not an indictment on anybody in the room. This is all of us. We're people. We sometimes suck. I work in healthcare and ministry, and one of my favorite jokes is, all of this would be so easy if it weren't for the people. But I've chosen two professions that center around caring and helping people. But I digress. In Luke 5, Jesus heals a man who had leprosy. And after Jesus healed him, he said, bro, don't tell anybody, okay? Just don't tell anybody. Just go live your life. People will see that, oh, you had leprosy. Now you don't have leprosy, and they'll know you're healed. That will be your testimony. Just don't tell anybody. One simple request. As a parent, I've never felt this more in my soul. Just like I asked you to do one thing, one thing. And so you read this story, and you can take the meaning of this story as Jesus's request to just let your life be your testimony. Your healing is your public testimony. That's how the world will know that you're different. And I could Pentecostal preach that all day long. But if you look at it through the lens of self-care, like I did this week, I see something else happening. And it's in Luke 5, and we're going to start in 15. It says, but despite Jesus's instructions, one job, man, just asked you to do one thing. Sorry, flashback to my kid. The report of his power spread even faster, and vast crowds came to hear him and preach so he could preach and to be healed of their diseases. But Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. So what I see is Jesus told this man to do one thing, and it might have had more than one purpose. Jesus might have told him to do it because he wanted his life to be a testimony. But also Jesus knew that they were going to hunt him down. And all he wanted was 20 minutes where no one speaks to him. There's an episode of Bluey where mom just wants 20 minutes where no one speaks to me. And I was like, thank you, Bluey.
Thank you.
God, man, go watch Bluey. It's so good. But what leads me to this conclusion is, but Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. The Nicole translation says, Jesus saw all those people coming and he dipped to pray. And as someone who often needs alone time or solitude to recharge my battery because people and too much social interaction can leave me overstimulated, I know what's happening here. Jesus is withdrawing to get peace, to get quiet, so he can recharge. But there's something very important in verse 16. It's not just that he withdrew. And one word tells me everything that I need to know about how Jesus regarded self-care, and it is the word often. Jesus often withdrew. Not once, not when he hit burnout, not when he was overly exhausted, but he regularly did it. When he was tired, sure, but the word often implies that this was a practice. He did it preemptively to keep himself from burning out. Because this self-care, the act of silence and solitude and going to pray and meditate and be with God, they were essential to Jesus's life. And I'll make all the jokes I want about Jesus dipping out and not wanting to be around people. But Jesus was not choosing to disconnect from people. I think that's important to take away, despite all my sarcasm, is Jesus wasn't choosing to disconnect from people. He was making a choice to reconnect himself to the presence of God that made people tolerable. Am I right? Amen? No? Okay, keep moving. I love you guys. Thanks for being here. Jesus was not trying to escape people. He was trying to encounter God, to be filled with the peace and the joy and the love and the hope and the purpose that comes from being in the presence of God. because even Jesus knew he could not do life alone. He could not do ministry alone. Because even in the first century, Jesus knew that he could not give from an empty well. And in a world that tells us if we're not producing, then we're just wasting time, Jesus shows us often that sometimes the holiest thing that we can do is nothing, to say nothing, to be alone, to turn everything off, and to take care of ourselves. Jesus is separating himself not just from people and crowds, but he's also separating himself from his work. And I don't really think anybody's work is as important as the work Jesus was doing. And even he found time to pause, to get away, and to focus on taking care of his heart and his mind. And I could do this all night long, which is why at 11 o'clock last night, I was like, I need to shorten this up and do a whole series. So here we go, new series. And I'm starting my sermon now, so we got, just kidding. Look, if you guys don't laugh, I'm just going to get more awkward and it's going to be more painful for everybody. So over the next few weeks, we're going to look at the life of Jesus and the sacred work of self-care that he's invited us into, because self-care is not irresponsible, it's not lazy, it's not selfish, it's not some new age progressive idea. It's something that you can find in scripture from the beginning to the end. God created the seventh day of rest, and he made it holy. And I'm going to get into this in another week, but God made that day holy because self-care is holy. Taking care of yourself, stopping and pausing, is taking care of yourself, and it is holy. Why? Why is this important? Why did Jesus practice self-care? Why is he inviting us into the work of self-care? And I believe we can find that answer tonight in two different places. The first is Mark 12, 30 and 31. And Jesus says, love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Love your neighbor as yourself. Simply put, Jesus is telling us the way that we are to love. We are to love people the way we love ourselves, and how can we love other people if we don't love and care for ourselves first? Because you cannot give from an empty well. These commandments, this answer is Jesus' response to a man that asked him what the most important commandments were. These are his answer. And the Old Testament is full of commandments, rules, regulations on how to live and exist and to try to be holy in the world. But what Jesus does in these two verses is he sums up the top 10. And I touched on this a few weeks ago, and I'm going to look at it really quick now. But the 10 commandments, let's look at them. No other gods. This is about being rooted in God as the source of our life and the source of our love. There are no idols, no misplaced focus, worshiping what is real and true. Don't misuse the name of the Lord, honoring God with our word, our life, our actions. Number 4. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, because we were made for rest, not just productivity. And one of the top 10 commandments is to make space and time for God and to care for ourselves. Honor your father and mother. Do not murder. Honoring the sacredness and value of every human life. Do not commit adultery. It's about being faithful and loving with integrity in all of our relationships. Don't steal, living honestly, trusting that what you have is enough. Don't bear false witness. This isn't just lying, but about lying about someone, doing damage to their reputation or their future. It's not just about dishonesty. It's about injustice. And don't covet, because covet breeds discontentment and jealousy. And this isn't just about your inward, what goes on inside of you about not being jealous, but what that jealousy does to others. And the Ten Commandments is about JOY, our earlier acronym. Well, Jesus, you, others, is what we're learning tonight. Commandments 1 through 3, all about our relationship with God. They're not rigid, religious, legalistic rules to follow, but relational rhythms to keep us in relationship with God, where we grow our love for God, where we get to worship God. and then how that love and worship is reflected and how we speak and treat and love others. This is the beginning of true biblical self-care. Because in God's presence is where we get the reminder of who we are and who we belong to and our purpose. Like Mary at the tomb after the resurrection, when Jesus said her name, when we take time and we pause and we worship the Lord, we hear God say our name and we know who we belong to. And then commandment 4 kind of feels like an oddball coming out of left field. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And we're like, okay, yeah, we have to go to church and be holy, blah, blah, blah. But that's not what it is. It's not about going to church. Commandments 1-3 root us in God's goodness. But commandment 4 and Sabbath say we finally get to let go. Shabbat means rest. It does not mean we Shabbat to church. It means we rest, we stop, we pause. And when we're centered in God, we finally get to let go. We get to breathe, get to exhale, stop striving, stop working. Not because everything's done, not because everything is perfect, but because of who we are in the presence of God. This commandment is about delighting in the Creator and in His creation, and that includes ourselves. This is God telling Moses to tell the people to take care of yourself, your heart, your mind, your body, your soul. To rest, not as a suggestion, not as a luxury if you work hard enough, but it is a command. And this is at the heart of Jesus' invitation in Matthew 11. Jesus invites us to work with Him and to rest with Him. It's about remembering that we are loved and we are known and we have a purpose. This is the abundant life that He is speaking of in John 10. A life that is not consumed by endless work or striving, because abundant life isn't measured by productivity. An abundant life is one where you delight in life. You enjoy your life, not just surviving it. An abundant life comes when we care for ourselves. Why? Why is self-care a value and a part of the culture for me at this church? Because a lot of reasons. Commandment 4 is more than just a rest day or stopping or taking a day off. The fourth commandment is a bridge from loving God to loving others the way we love ourselves. Honoring ourselves enough to believe and live out that self-care is sacred and holy. Because when we take care of ourselves, when we make time to rest and to stop for silence, solitude, and all of the things we're going to get into over the next few weeks, is we show up differently in the world and for our church and for our community. We're more present for the people in our lives, our spouses, our kids. We're whole. We know who we are, and we are able to love well. And if you read Mark 12 again, Jesus isn't simplifying all of the laws. He's taking what the people of Israel already believe to be the command, and He's weaving them together to cover all the bases. Love God, love yourself, and love all people. When we do those things, when we love God and we're centered in God, when we take care of ourselves and we're centered in ourselves, we then can love all people well. We cannot give from an empty well. We cannot meet needs if our needs are not met. We can't offer peace, joy, kindness, or grace if we're not taking the time to receive those ourselves. And then commandments 6-10, they're the blueprint from loving others. It's how we get from loving God, taking care of ourselves, to loving others. How we live in our community, loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. Self-care is a value for me as a person. It is a value for me as a pastor, and will be part of the culture here at Refuge, because I recognize that without it, I'm useless to you. Without taking care of myself, I'm useless to you. Without taking care of ourselves, we're useless to our community. when I am not practicing regular self-care and taking care of myself, I'm grumpy, I'm angry, I'm snappy, ask my wife. She would tell you all the things that I am when I'm not, she just looked at me through the window. Love you, babe. Because we can't give from an empty place. We can't do for our community from an empty place. And so this series, we're going to walk with Jesus. We're going to work with Jesus. We're going to look at his life and his examples and watch how he did it. Watch how he practiced self-care and silence and solitude and prayer and meditation and studying. And we're going to have grace. We're going to have grace for ourselves. We're going to have grace and love for ourselves. So I'm going to read Matthew 11 again, and I'm going to ask the band to come up. But I want this verse to be what we reflect on tonight as we close out our night, we worship, and we begin this series. And you might be here tonight, you may be thinking, Nicole, this is crazy. Self-care is crazy. And that's fine, sure, that's fair. But this week, the reason that I evolved to doing a series is because I started to prepare a message on rest. Because one of the values from our culture, the former pastor established, was that we are a restful church. And I love that. That's a good value to have. So I started working on that. And then I went to therapy. And my therapist was like, are you taking care of yourself? And through tears and snot, I said, no, of course I'm not. And that's when the Lord, in the middle of therapy, was like, this needs to be taught. This isn't just something that you practice as a pastor. This is something that needs to be the culture of our church. Self-care, caring for ourselves. Not so that we ignore the needs of other people, or not so that we just like, we're too busy caring for ourselves, but so that we can love other people well. So that we can love people out in the community. We can love people in this room. Kids, a thousand.